This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
I've got to share with everyone because Amy has literally just leant in front of me to press record on the podcasting equipment and I was taken aback about how dry your hands are. What is going on?
It's all the hand sanitizer I've been using and this is actually my hands looking a little bit better.
Wow, I wouldn't have liked to see them looking bad. Sophie, what are your hands like? Yours?
I have renownedly very dry skin, so my hands are very scratchy. I've got very ugly looking hands, I have to say.
I do remember our hairdresser, Marianne. She actually told me as a 12-year-old that I should be a hand model, and I've always really, you know, taken that with me.
Kate, are your hands looking good just because you've been moisturizing them so you can look at your ring?
Oh. Well, that's the thing. Sophie's always saying how soft my skin is, and it's just simply because I moisturize, and my hands were getting a little bit dry, and my tip is I got a big bottle of moisturizer and I keep it in my car and put it on when I'm at the traffic light.
Wow, what earth-shattering advice there. Just moving on to something a little bit more exciting, and we're going to be checking out your prospective wedding venue this week.
Yeah, so Reese and I went down to Maximilian last weekend and we kind of scoped it out. It's sort of on top of my list of venues and I don't know, everyone's saying, oh, you should go to more than one venue, but we kind of really like it. And I'm like, well, if I go and look at other venues, is that just going to confuse me?
I think you've got to go and check out some more because although you like this one, you don't know what's out there if you don't have a look.
Well, I've had a look online and I'm sorry, but the price seems very good compared to the other venue. So it is also a budgeting thing.
It's funny because you are floating the idea of having your wedding in January because apparently that's a bit more of an affordable time. But I'm sitting here selfishly as the bridesmaid or potential bridesmaid because you haven't asked me yet and thinking, am I going to be sweating my face off during this ceremony?
Well, can I just add it's January 2023, not anytime soon. There's plenty of time for me to ask you to be my bridesmaid. I literally am trying to come up. I'm trying to come up with a way to ask my bridesmaids to what they say, propose to my bridesmaids. And I'm trying to think of a really cool way that isn't ridiculously expensive because yes, I could be buying, my thought was to buy those really cool pajamas that are like personalized that you can wear on the day, but then I'm
wait,
like,
so let me get this straight, you now have to ask people and propose to them in a way for them to be your bridesmaids?
Yes, this is a lot of stress on me. I've been proposed to and now apparently I have to propose to the bridesmaid.
But is this something that's done all the time?
Yeah, well, even the guys get in on it. So Brandon is a groomsman in his friend's wedding and they had this big dinner party to ask people and they had this beautifully decorated table and on each seat there was a little box and when they opened it up there was like a personalized letter. And for the guys, they got a golfing like mitt.
Can I just
that
say,
was personalized?
Those boxes are so bloody expensive because there's these boxes that you have like the person's name on it and they open it up and it's like some little like, will you be my bridesmaid? The boxes alone cost like $20.
Well, tell us in our Facebook community, have you proposed to your bridesmaids in a really creative way?
And if you've got any ideas for me, I mean, I know Amy and Sophie are going to see the post in there, but you know, there's other people that I might be inviting to be my bridesmaids too. They might be listening to this podcast.
Today we are doing a replying to hater comments.
We're over it. You sound like a fat pelican from Nemo. That's creative. I'm impressed.
That's actually really creative.
I'm impressed.
That's you need creative. To make a YouTube channel.
You do.
Before we get into the main topic, we wanted to issue a trigger warning. We will be discussing issues surrounding domestic violence. If you don't want to listen, please skip forward. The time code will be in the show notes. On Thursday, Vanessa Sierra shared a shocking video of her boyfriend, Australian tennis player Bernard Tomic, to Instagram. In the video, Tomic appears to be destroying her laptop, breaking it over his knee. For those who haven't seen it, we'll throw to the audio now.
I remember when I lost my mind.
There we go.
There was so much different about that thing.
Nice camera.
This video is clearly very disturbing and shocked a lot of people. And I think what I found most worrisome is the fact that it appears that Tomic lunges towards Vanessa and then the recording stops. And it's quite clear that when Tomek realizes he's being filmed, he's visibly worried.
Oh, he definitely looks panicked. I mean, in this sort of social media world that we all live in, a video like that, it can destroy people's reputations.
Exactly right. So Vanessa, as well as sharing this video of the incident, she also shared a video of the smashed up parts of her laptop, phone, and what looked like a tablet. So the video was accompanied by text that read $16,000 worth of damage, currently can't work, and $500,000 in crypto is locked. I'll give $100 for the first person who can guess what happened. The video was captioned also, and it said, "Don't mess with a tennis player's ego. To replace the $16,000 worth of damage from his little tantrum, I'm leaking a private tape on my OnlyFans. Not sorry."
It's pretty crazy because Bernard Tomek has literally destroyed her livelihood. She says she can't work. And it's true because all of her work that she does is online. Her phone is smashed. Her computers are smashed. It's been a blatant attempt to stop her from doing her job.
We're all asking for help. I mean, with her phone smashed, she can't contact anyone. And I suppose that was a lot of what people were fearing when they saw this video. And Vanessa commented under the photo, "For anyone asking, I am okay. I gave myself time to take care of my mental health before posting anything. The material items are replaceable." She also went on to comment that, "Just to clarify, he didn't and never has laid hands on me." She also went on to share, "I was upset with him for not checking on me when I was hospitalized. Argument escalated to him ruining my livelihood."
Before we get too far into the topic, I feel like we need to go into who exactly is Vanessa Sierra. Kate, can you explain for those who might not know?
Well, Vanessa Sierra is well known for being on Love Island Australia, and she has gone on to have a very successful career on OnlyFans. So prior to being on Love Island, she was actually dating maths contestant Jessica Power's brother, Reese Power. So sadly, the relationship ended when Vanessa shared a really shocking photo of herself where it appeared she had a black eye. So Vanessa says Reese allegedly assaulted her at a fitness camp in Thailand. She wrote on Instagram, "7 days of isolation and I'm back to myself again. Those closest to me already know what happened. This was taken the day I left and it does not even hint to the extent of what I went through. Domestic violence isn't a fucking joke. So here it is literally, a taste of your own medicine. On a completely separate note, Reese Power, how is Thailand?" Reese went on to deny the allegations in a lengthy Instagram post. So he wrote, "There's always two sides to every story and everyone needs to believe that. Everyone's jumped on the bandwagon without even hearing my side of the story, which I understand. If a girl makes an allegation about a claim, whether it's an attractive girl or any girl, everyone's going to jump on the bandwagon. And I fully understand that." Like, I can't even finish that sentence without being like, what does it have to do with the girl's appearance?
It's ridiculous.
If someone believes someone's claim of domestic violence, like, it's just so frustrating to read that.
What I take from this too is it just seems like there's so many cries for help. It's so alarming that, again, she's having to post the bad behavior of one of her partners. I feel really sorry for her.
I feel really sorry for her as well. And it's hard because the way that she has put this out to the media, there is going to be a lot of victim blaming going on. And I really want to make that clear that in no way is our discussion blaming her at all, because you don't know how you're going to act in a situation like this. And I do feel like she is crying out for help.
Yeah. But what about Bernard Tomek? Because a lot of us know he is a tennis player, but I think it's relevant to talk a little bit about his backstory as well.
Well, he has really earned himself the title of a tennis brat. I feel like that's the way we all think of him. So this incident is just the latest in a long string of controversies in his very polarizing tennis career. So he was labeled Australia's brightest tennis hope. He was actually ranked the world's top under 14s player, and he won the Australian Open Juniors in 2008. And one of Bernard's first controversies actually involved Leighton Hewitt. So Bernard was only 16 at the time, and he famously snubbed Leighton, who offered to have a hit up of tennis with him.
I remember that.
That did really get him offside with a lot of other tennis players as well. And that incident, of course, caused a huge rift between the players. They are still not friendly with one another. So he also had his first run-in with the law on Australia Day in 2012. And I think we will all remember that famous orange V8 BMW, which he was seen speeding in. So he was fined 3 times for traffic offences. And as a P-plater, he wasn't supposed to be driving the BMW alone, but he had been given an exemption to use it to get to training in Southport. So Again, the following year, he was also caught speeding, this time in a yellow Ferrari on the Gold Coast, and that ended up costing him his driver's license.
Hasn't there been some alleged punch-ups involving Bernard as well?
Yeah, so a punch-up allegedly happened in a spa. So it said that he...
In a spa.
So apparently he turned on police officers after they were called to break up a fight between him and a friend in Surfers Paradise on the Gold Coast. And Bernard reminded the officers of who he was and accused them of running a hate campaign against him. And it really just gets worse because in 2012, he was suspended from the Australian Open Davis Cup team, with Tennis Australia citing his poor efforts and attitude. And later he ranted about Tennis Australia in a press conference. So it's not even just in his personal life that things were imploding. It was also his professional life.
What about that incident involving Bernard's father, John? Because he headbutted his son's hitting partner in Madrid.
Oh, my God.
There seems to be something about these tennis parents, doesn't there?
Oh, definitely. Well, apparently he claims to have headbutted the tennis partner as self-defense. This did not go down well in court. So his father was sentenced to 8 months in prison in a Spanish court. Unfortunately, he didn't actually have to serve the jail time as the sentence was less than 2 years.
Well, that's not the only brush with the law the Tomic family have had. In 2015, Bernard was arrested in Miami on charges of trespassing and resisting arrest after a late night party in a $10,000 a night hotel penthouse.
Unfortunately, doesn't stop there, because in 2016, he had a rather petty outburst because he refused to pay a $20 tennis court fee at the Brisbane International. I mean, it's safe to say he really has not grown up at all or matured.
What about all those famous pictures of him getting a lap dance in that Gold Coast nightclub?
Yeah, well, that's where he was famously called a toolie by newspapers.
Oh, that's right. It was at schoolies. Oh, my
gosh.
That's
right.
Well, going back to this video, while it was clearly extremely shocking, I don't think fans were surprised that there seemed to be some issues going on between these two.
Well, on the weekend, Vanessa posted to her Instagram a number of cryptic messages which hinted that her relationship with Tomic was over. She wrote, "I've always been real and raw with you guys about my life, both my ups and downs, despite potential judgment. And you've always been incredibly supportive and my rock. I'll speak to you all when I'm ready." She then shared another post that said, "You've got to be with someone who got plans for both y'all, not just them." She also shared another Instagram photo featuring a broken heart emoji and captioned it, "Fooled me twice." So last month, Vanessa also shared a rather telling video to her TikTok where she wrote, "What people think my relationship is like," and showed all these happy videos, and then "To what my relationship is actually like," and showed countless videos of her crying.
I feel like I only realized these two were together in February when the Australian Open was on, because if you cast your mind back, there were a lot of people talking about the vlog Vanessa shared where she was complaining that she had to wash her own hair. Now, the comment was very tongue-in-cheek. However, she got a lot of trolling over it, and then everyone kind of backflipped and said it wasn't fair.
I remember finding that so amusing because all the news stations were running with that, and it amused me that the journalists would have had to sit down and watch her vlog to find the grab.
Well, what I found more shocking was that Bernard revealed that she's in fact his tennis coach, despite her having no tennis ability.
Well, this seemed to be a big loophole to allow her to travel with him.
So what has Bernard Tomic's response been to all of these allegations?
Well, Bernard actually responded on his Instagram account initially, and he wrote on his Insta story, "Vanessa Sierra thinks leaking our tapes on her OnlyFans is going to affect me. Hold up, let me recount my millions." Now, this isn't the first time Bernard has referenced his bank account when he's been criticized. So after losing in the qualifying finals ahead of the 2018 Australian Open, Tomic said, "I just count money. That's all I do. I count my millions. You go do what I did on court. Bye-bye. You go make 13 to 14 million. Good luck, guys." Then after losing at Wimbledon in 2017, Bernard signed off by saying, "You probably don't like me, but at only 24, you guys can only dream about having what I have at 24. End of the day, don't like me or whatever. Just go back dreaming about your dream car or house while I go buy them."
To be honest, I'm really not surprised by his wanker comments. I mean, how many times does he have to reference how much money he's got? But you would think that somebody would have got into his head and said, "Hey, Bernard, I think you need to release an official apology," because that vision of him breaking the computer was over every news station.
What I'm actually so shocked about, just going back to the money for a second, is how has he actually made all this money? Because he has been, you know, despite being touted as this success story, he has been very underwhelming in his tennis performance and ability. And I'm sorry, but who are the sponsors that would ever sign up to work with this individual?
Well, I did find the comment kind of contradictory to the 60 Minutes interview that Vanessa Sierra did, where she spoke about that she makes a lot more money than Bernard Tomic and talked about how she makes millions from OnlyFans. So it seemed like a bit of an odd flex for Bernard to be like, oh, well, I'm going to count my millions. Well, she could be like, well, fuck you, Bernard, I'm counting mine. Yeah.
Actually, I did see in the comments section, somebody wrote, oh no, Bernard's going to lose all of his sponsors. And she wrote, what sponsors? With a laughing face. The interesting thing, though, is Bernard has done a complete backflip. As of recording the podcast on a Friday night, he actually shared a photo of him and Vanessa kissing. And he said, shouldn't have broken her stuff. I don't know what came over me. My ego too big, but I'm going to drop it for you. So sorry, wifey. Please, let's make things right.
Now, Vanessa has also subsequently removed the post of Bernard breaking her computer off Instagram. It still remains on TikTok, but it's safe to say that they must have had some sort of discussion, and it appears that they are trying to resolve things, which I find very alarming.
I find this behavior quite typical of someone who is an abuser, because what an abuser will normally do is make a public declaration and apologize. And obviously that's worked because she's removed the video. It will be interesting to see in time if she does actually return to this relationship. And I mean, I don't want to judge her for doing that, because I understand that these type of relationships aren't black and white. And this is really a time that I hope Vanessa's family come around her and help her, and her friends help her in this situation.
Exactly. And just to point out, Vanessa has denied that Bernard has ever laid a finger on her. She isn't accusing him of abusing her.
Yeah. Well, it's quite interesting because Vanessa hasn't even come out and said that they're not together. And this was quite contentious because Husey, of all people, he was actually dragged into the drama because on his radio show, he said it's fair to say that they've broken up. Now, apparently Husey and Vanessa Sierra are friends behind closed doors, which I found quite strange. Vanessa then went onto Instagram and said, for anyone who listened to Husey on the radio, I never confirmed a breakup. My initial response saying I don't talk to media does not count as a reply to his DM. Clearly off the record means nothing these days. And she concluded with the hashtag fake news.
Do you know what's funny? Because if you use the term off the record, that's when you tell the truth about something, but you say, hey, it's off the record. So it's kind of contradictory what she's saying. She's obviously told Husey that they've broken up, but wasn't expecting him to tell everybody on air.
Yeah, well, Husey has backtracked on his show and he apologized to Vanessa for breaking her trust. He said, I never said that they've broken up. I said that she has sent some DMs and I didn't say what she had said in the DMs. I definitely shouldn't have said it's fair to say they have broken up. I shouldn't have said that. And I apologize to you now, Vanessa. I hope that we can build a bridge so that we can be friends again.
Before we wrap this up, I do want to get your guys' opinion, because in the original post on Instagram, Vanessa did say that she would be leaking more videos of Bernard Tomic. And a lot of people thought that that potentially meant revenge porn, because she said she'd be putting it on her OnlyFans account.
I don't know if we can just assume that it was revenge porn. I mean, I know the fact that she said it was going to be on OnlyFans, your mind immediately thinks to something pornographic. However, perhaps she was going to share more abusive videos but wanted to put the paywall there.
Well, a follower did actually say, do you have Bernard's permission to share those videos? That's really wrong of you to do that. And she said, I do have his permission. So I'm really confused about what she was going to actually share.
I'm just asking this. I actually don't think it's true, but a lot of people have been saying potentially this is a publicity stunt. Could this be Bernard and Vanessa Sierra launching their OnlyFans account together?
No, I definitely do not think this is a publicity stunt. I don't think you can fake that video, like the look of rage on his face. And I don't think that Vanessa Sierra would do that. I mean, she herself has said that she has been a victim of domestic violence. And I think we need to take women's claims about domestic violence seriously. This was clearly a cry for help. This poor woman clearly has been through this before, if judging by her Instagram posts with a black eye. I feel really sorry for her, and I really think she needs help. And do you know what? It pisses me off that Tennis Australia hasn't come out and said anything. I think that this needs to go further in terms of this behavior is not acceptable for anyone to do, particularly someone like Bernard Tomic, who was a role model.
This is Amy coming to you from the future. Since recording, more information has come to light. Vanessa Sierra has taken to her Instagram over the weekend, labeling her behavior childish for sharing the video of Bernard breaking her laptop. Police in Croatia, which is where Bernard and Vanessa are currently located, have confirmed to the media they are investigating the case after receiving a complaint from a woman who claimed her belongings had been destroyed. Let's have a listen to what Vanessa Sierra had to say on her Instagram story.
I obviously wanted all my stuff replaced, which he refused to do at the start. And I guess it was pretty childish of me to post the video, but in my head I was just like, okay, well, I've got to make the money back somehow. But since then, Bernard has actually paid me back and he's sent me an apology and we're finally talking again. So he has come to his senses, and I also want to put this out there that Bernard's going through a lot of personal stuff at the moment. So if you guys can please be mindful of that, I'm being mindful of that. So I'm trying not to, I guess, create any more hate towards him, which I already have created. Currently, I don't really know what I'm going to do. My plan was to come home, but I do need to work things out with Bernard before I make any big decisions. So I'll keep you guys updated as always, and thank you for being patient and supportive. Love you guys. Hands are like full of hate for talking to Bernard. I haven't said I've made any decisions yet. I've simply said that I'm talking to him and I'm not excusing any of the behavior. I don't say any of it is okay. But I'm here to make my own decisions. I'm giving him a chance to explain himself and talk to me, and I think that's fair enough. So I'd appreciate a little bit of kindness in the messages, because I don't think what I'm doing is wrong. I'm not excusing anything. I'm just letting you guys know how things are. I'm still staying in my own hotel. He's staying in his own hotel. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm actually shocked at how much hate that message got, but apparently being trying to be mature in a relationship is not the way.
Also, last night, Vanessa shared a sneak peek on her Instagram to a new OnlyFans video, which showed Vanessa in a G-string being spanked with a tennis racket. So it seems this story isn't quite over. Hopefully, for Vanessa's sake, she's safe. And now just a quick break to say a big thank you to our sponsor of today's episode, Pepico. Thank you for making this episode possible. We've been using the LED light therapy mask for a month now, and we're really loving it as part of our skincare routine. What I love most about Pepico is it is a trusted brand that is endorsed by dermatologists. The LED light mask is completely painless and it doesn't require any downtime. All you do is put it on and choose whether you'd like to use the red, blue, or yellow light. So the red light is best for anti-aging and helps to boost collagen. I've been using the blue light, which eliminates breakouts and reduces redness. I found this is really helpful for reducing inflammation, and the yellow light helps to improve overall skin tone and hyperpigmentation. The cool thing is all you need is 10 minutes of the light, so you can pop on your favorite podcast while you look after your skin. The light also automatically turns off after 10 minutes. So the team at Pepico have kindly given Outspoken listeners a 30% off discount code. They don't normally offer codes this high, so it's a really great opportunity to get your hands on one of these LED light masks. But please be quick, as this code is only active for 24 hours. So simply use the code Outspoken to get 30% off. Let's get into the influencer wrap, and Sarah's day is in the middle of yet another PR disaster, this time involving her cooking app Sunny. So on Friday, the team at Sunny announced they were holding a competition to win a Sunny prize pack. So this included an apron, a shopping bag, and to be honest, some very underwhelming products.
So nothing like her pink ticket that she has been promoting.
No, it wasn't a pink ticket. But so all people had to do was head to the app store, rate and review Sunny, and leave their Instagram handle at the end of the review so the team could pick a winner.
It does seem like a very desperate bid to try and strengthen the ratings on her app at the moment, because it isn't rating well. There are a lot of negative reviews at the moment on there.
Well, I think the rating is sitting at about a 3.3 at the moment.
That is bad considering what a big fan base she actually has.
Well, the post that Sarah put up was met with a lot of backlash. Many people accused Sunny of misleading potential users of the app with false reviews. And following the backlash, the post was amended to read, "We are 6 months old this month. Tell us what you love about Sunny and go into the draw to win this prize." They also amended the bit that said "rate and review Sunny" to read, "rate and review Sunny based on your experience."
Mm.
Then hours later, the post was removed and replaced with another post that read, "Paused with a number of queries we have been sent regarding our recent giveaway. We have made the decision to temporarily pause the competition while our team ensures that we comply with relevant laws. We will be sure to update you on the next steps and any changes that need to be made. We are sorry for the inconvenience and appreciate your ongoing love and support."
This doesn't surprise me because I did see one Sarah's Day hate page actually prompting people to report this competition. Mm. So it seems like it has caught up with Sarah.
Well, it seems to me like this competition has been brought about in a sort of a bit of desperation because there has been a lot of talk about the fact that the 6 month subscriptions that people signed up for are coming to an end with Sunny. So thank it seems God. Like
well, Sophie, you remember, did yeah. you get, did you sign up to 6 months?
I did sign up to 6 months and I literally have not touched the app for about 4 to 5 months
now. Did you cook anything from it?
I cooked a few disasters, to be honest.
Yeah. Well,
I wanted to put it out there. I wanted to find some healthy recipes because I have...
Have you heard of Google?
I have, but I have naturally high cholesterol. So I thought, oh, beauty, this might actually have some good recipes. But unfortunately for me, I have not enjoyed the app.
Have you left a review?
No, I have not rated and reviewed.
Well, has anyone else noticed, though, there does seem this big push at the moment to be, I mean, an extra push, I must say, to be promoting a lot of their products because they've also been promoting Sarah's White Fox Boutique clothing with the competition. And this is kind of getting rid of the dregs that didn't sell because they're doing a 30% off sale.
Well, and also now she's come out and announced that she's going to have a third ebook. So I think that what's happening here, before it was all, you know, the commentary was, "I'm putting my all into the Sunny app, you know, we're working around the clock with it." Now, all of a sudden, I think they've reassessed the situation and said, "Look, no one cares about her cooking. People care about your fitness." And I mean, at the moment, I think today she was sharing photographs of herself in labor. So it's clearly going to be marketed as very much, you know, oh, bouncing back after you've had your kid.
Post-baby body. Well,
yeah. There's a lot of people talking about the fact that she is trying to remarket herself as a bit of a mummy vlogger. And she actually has changed her Instagram picture of her and Fox, which I don't think she has ever had. So it does seem like she is trying to signal that transition into the mummy vlogger and maybe away from the cooking. I do think these desperate attempts to raise funds could potentially be because they've probably put a lot of money into the app. I mean, it's not a cheap thing to do to create your own app.
Look, to be honest, I mean, is there that much demand for gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free food? I think that she should have released it as an ebook. She probably would have made a stack of money. I think that she's probably bitten off more she can chew with this app. And unfortunately, people aren't loving it. And that's why there is a 3-star rating. Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised that she's gone back to actually releasing an ebook because I feel like that's very 2014. I mean, ebooks were really popular with like Kayla Astinas's Bikini Body Challenge, and she made the move onto an app. And we also saw it with Keep It Cleaner. So Steph and Laura actually launched Keep It Cleaner. I think they actually called it Keep It Clean as an ebook, and that's gone onto an app. So I'm surprised that they're not incorporating her workout routine into the app.
Yeah, but it's probably easy. It's probably proof that the app isn't working.
I think it's a quick push for money, I think. Now, getting back into the legalities over this competition, Amy, what are the laws surrounding encouraging people to leave reviews with the lure of a prize?
Well, it's really interesting because according to the ACCC, they consider it misleading to write reviews when you haven't experienced the good or service that you are reviewing. And also, it's considered misleading to solicit others to write reviews about your business and goods if you know that they haven't experienced the products either. So this is why we've seen the team at Sunny change up the wording of the post. In regards to offering incentives in return for reviews, the ACCC says the incentives should only be offered in exchange for reviews of a business if the incentives are offered equally to consumers. So this basically means that if a person leaves a negative review, they still have an opportunity to win the prize pack. And if they offer a positive review, they also have an opportunity to win.
Well, so it didn't seem like they were giving any sort of metric as to how the competition would actually be drawn. So you would assume by reading it that if you left a really glowing review, you would go into a have a very good chance of winning.
Well, the ACCC also states that the incentive must be prominently disclosed to users who rely on affected reviews. So that means that they would have to get every person who was leaving a review to disclose, hey, I'm entering a competition. And this is obviously not being done. So this is one breach, I would assume, that has happened.
Does the same rule apply for podcasts? I'm not going to name any podcasts, but I have seen multiple podcasts that have a lot of followers based on their influencer status, and they offer a prize for people leaving them good reviews. I feel like that's quite deceptive as well to people that might listen to the podcast.
I mean, it's an interesting one because it does refer to a business. So it would depend if the podcast is a business or if it's a passion project.
I suppose it's different because you don't pay to listen to a podcast.
Yeah, but it might be a little bit different, but it is misleading.
But you still make money off it and have sponsors who, you know, if you get a lot of listeners, you get people paying you more money. So I feel like it could fall into that category.
So what does everyone make of them actually pausing the competition?
Well, I think it's quite clear that it wasn't their decision to pause it. I think it was probably a decision made by the ACCC.
I mean, the ACCC wouldn't jump in that quickly, but I think people were commenting some of the regulations in the comments, so that might have prompted them to take it down.
Okay, before they got in too much trouble. Well, what did you think about the way the Sunny team handled this negative feedback online?
Well, it was really interesting messaging. So one comment from the Sunny team said that it had been brought to their attention that there were a number of fake/negative reviews on the app store, and that if people would like any further clarification on what the app is like, to DM them. So they're trying to say that, oh, all these negative reviews are actually fake reviews. And it was quite funny because a few people responded saying, well, we've DM'd you and we've actually received no response.
Wow.
And then there were a lot of people commenting that were saying that their comments had been deleted on Sunny's page, not just on the day that this competition occurred, but also on other days.
Well, I have actually seen this Sarah's Day Hate page actually posting a lot of the commentary, and people seem to be leaving legitimate comments saying that they have an issue with it, and they do get deleted. And it's quite funny because when you look at Sunny's comments, it's quite clear that they haven't had a really large take up compared to, say, an app like Keep It Cleaner, because I actually follow Keep It Cleaner on Instagram, and there are genuine comments on there where it only seems to be like Sarah is commenting on the post.
Well, I think Sarah's commenting to boost the engagement, because if you get somebody who's got a huge following and they comment on your Instagram, it's going to boost that engagement level.
It doesn't seem to be working.
No, it doesn't seem to be working. But someone raised the issue about Sunny deleting comments, and Sunny responded saying, thanks for your message. As an approach to bullying, Instagram hides comments if they are reported too many times. Please note, we have not deleted any comments. Our team is working to rectify this issue in the most compliant and fair way.
Oh, wow.
But it's so funny because a lot of people were saying that someone had shared a comment saying, can I please ask what are Sarah's qualifications for producing this app?
Yeah, and was that deleted as bullying by Instagram? Well,
this comment was left up for quite a while, and it accumulated a large number of likes, and then it was deleted when the Sunny team realized. So that kind of comment is not going to be deleted for bullying by Instagram. It's quite obvious that they are deleting the comments themselves.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting to see what happens with Sunny, because this is obviously a project that needs constant updating, because for those who don't know, Sarah has promised to put new recipes every week. So I suppose we'll wait and see what happens with the app.
Don't look. Okay. I'm reading this to you.
Okay, go.
Danielle Darcy says, I personally don't like Chris Fox. I think he tries way too hard. What do you have to say about that? Fuck off. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here, Danielle.
I very much enjoyed watching Madison Woolley's Q&A vlog last night on YouTube, because this was extremely juicy. She opened up about the reasons behind why she's moving out alone, despite telling everyone she was going to move out with her boyfriend, Jonathan Sauer, and her best friend, Caitlin. She also innocently decided to tell us what her dream car was. However, this has caused a lot of contention because she has announced herself as an MG partner. So on her Instagram account and on her podcast, she has been spruiking MG and saying that she's loved driving around it. So let's take a little reminder of what she said on her podcast.
Also exciting, we got to drive around in some super stylish, cute MG3 cars for the past week. If you guys follow us on Instagram and also on the Girl Code Instagram.
They're actually so cute.
They are so cute.
Since getting the MG, I'm
actually so obsessed with it.
Such a cute car. If you guys actually want to know more about the cars that we've been driving around for the past week, we have highlights on the Girl Code's Instagram page and you can look at all the cute new features.
So then this is what she said her dream car was, which is quite contradictory.
So my dream car right now is to get, I want the big black Jeep Wrangler with the big black wheels.
Wow, how awkward. I'm guessing their people at MG are pretty pissed off after seeing that, that Q&A.
She further dug herself a hole by saying that buying a car is the worst financial move because it's a depreciating asset.
Buying a car is just the worst financial move because it's just such a depreciating asset. So as soon as you buy it, you start losing money. So it's really hard for me to justify spending the money on a car when I'm just like, I have my Fiat, you know, but then also I'm like, how good would it be to be driving around in the Jeep?
So I find this very boggling that you would put this out to your YouTube followers who you're telling, okay, buy this car because I've been paid to it, but actually buying a car is a terrible financial decision.
Well, despite the stuff up about the car, I actually did enjoy this Q&A video because she was really real and honest in her video, and she just kind of went there with some of the answers.
I gotta disagree because I found that she kind of, you know, yeah, she did include comments about people asking her what's going on with her boyfriend, yeah, because it's quite clear something's going on. The fact that they said they were going to move out together and suddenly they're not. And there's been kind of some cryptic clues that she's been talking about on her podcast. So, yeah, it's good that she acknowledged it. However, she kept cutting it and editing it. So she really didn't say anything other than, oh, we're having issues with communication.
Mm.
But then on Friday night, she backed it up by putting a picture of him grabbing her boob and them being all lovey-dovey. So I feel like they're trying to, like, it's very contradictory, the messaging at the moment. I mean, maybe that's the issue, contradictory communication.
Maybe. But that's what's interesting about her having this podcast. I actually think it's a good move by her because on her Instagram, she only really shares the highlights, and a lot of people can't relate to that. I think that influencers need to become a bit more real, and I think she is making an effort to do that.
Yeah, but I feel like you've got to match it up on the platforms. Like, you can't go onto one platform and be really open and honest, and then on your Instagram you're pretending that everything's perfect.
Well, on to another juicy Q&A. Michael Finch opened up on his Insta stories about his new lifestyle. Let's throw to the most interesting parts.
To be completely honest, I was depressed and anxious as fuck, and I was a super, super angry person, and I just couldn't work out why. And I knew that a big part of things was majority of the life. And I knew that the lifestyle choices that I was making at the time were the main cause of it, but I didn't know how much of it. And I just became obsessed with it, you know what I mean? And I fucking enjoy it so much. And yeah, I have a healthy relationship with alcohol now too. I still like to get super wasted, but I drink to have fun. I don't drink to forget or forget about what's going on in, you know, real life and reality like that. And I think that's okay. I'm happy with that, you know?
It sounds like Michael Finch has had to take a big break on social media to be able to do all of these things, to be able to change his whole lifestyle.
Yeah, he has been very quiet on social media, and he sort of hinted at a bit of a comeback. I mean, I don't know what that looks like because it doesn't seem like he hangs out with many of his old friends. I mean, we used to see him with Shani and Lily Brown all the time. It seems like that crew is a little bit on the back burner. And it seems like he has sort of changed into this sort of, like, I want to say earth mother. So he's like growing his own vegetables. He loves cooking. And he looks like a completely different person.
He does. I think it's the hair, and he's got his new teeth. He does look, his skin looks glowing from all of the veggies he's been eating.
Are you sure that's not the filter he's using?
Oh, it's a little bit of the filter. It's a little bit of him. But I do think that if he does become consistent again with his content, he will bring back some of that audience that has left him, because a lot of the people who would have followed Michael Finch back in the day, they've grown up a little bit. I mean, I'm 32. I wouldn't mind seeing him talk about his veggie patch.
Yeah, exactly right. I also really enjoyed how he spoke about people perceiving him as rich. So he said, "I was never rich. I spent a lot of money on shit that goes to waste in the end. And you're really left with nothing but a low bank account, honey." Now, I think it's really great that he's coming out on his platform and saying, "Okay, I had that lifestyle. I don't have it anymore, but I'm actually happier away from that?
Yeah. Well, you do see a lot of influencers these days earning a lot of money very quickly, and often they go and spend it on designer things, and that's definitely what Michael did. I remember he had his Gucci candle when he was always flying business class overseas, which is fair enough if that's what he wanted to spend his money on, but I suppose it is a really good message to his younger followers that maybe it would have been a better idea to save it. And maybe if they're in that position, that's what they should do.
Well, I feel like he's more relatable now. Yeah. I mean, he was really, you know, he became popular because he was this relatable, funny guy. And now he's sort of back like as one of us.
I do feel like people liked watching his bougie lifestyle though.
Yeah, I do. But I think that gets old pretty quickly. Like you've seen with Shani Grimm and she's still living quite a luxurious lifestyle. Mm. And I feel like interest in her has really dropped. So I suppose another interesting part of this Q&A had to do with Lily Brown. So Lily and Michael have been pretty public about the fact that they've had a falling out. They used to be best friends. They were on lots of YouTube videos together and suddenly they kept like unfollowing each other and then following each other. And it just seemed pretty apparent that there was a rift. Michael has revealed, he's updated us, and that they have actually rekindled their friendship, which made me quite happy.
Yeah, that is really cool because Michael's the one who really introduced Lily to the Instagram world and the YouTube world. That's how she kind of got big, by being his friend.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's you know, the world is fine now. They're back they're back together. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Outspoken.
If you did enjoy the episode, we'd love if you could go and leave us a review. I'm sorry, we're not going to be sunny. We're not going to be sending anybody any packs us a review.
We've got no prizes, only if you actually like the podcast. And please join in on the conversations going on in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.
And we do love to see where you are listening to the podcast from. So if you're out and about, please take an Instagram story of where you're listening to and tag us in it so we can have a look.